Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Have you heard All of the Above with Norman Lear? So far, Norman's had conversations with Amy Poehler, Gerard Carmichael, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Charles Barkley, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, Stephen Tobolowsky, Martin Sheen, and last week it was Kevin Bacon.
When they say action, I don't want to feel like it's Kevin. I want to feel like it's, you know, in this case, Dick.
And don't forget to check out this week's episode with America Ferrara.
When I speak out and speak politically, I don't think of myself as speaking as an artist. I think of myself speaking as a person, as a citizen, as a woman.
All of the Above with Norman Lear. New episodes every Monday on the Podcast One app or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get on it. And welcome to the best hour in the universe.
It is. And this is the best hour of the universe. I'm so happy to be here because I get to see you twice in, 96 hours, which is a first.
That's a real run for us.
Uh-huh.
Mark Garagus over there. Adam Carolla over here. Reasonable Doubt is what you're listening to. And thank you guys for listening and tweeting and telling a friend and all that good stuff.
We get a lot of social media buzz about this show. People start arguing. I enjoy it a lot. I like when they argue.
So right before we got on the air, I said, how long are you going to be around for? And then you said, Chris Brown's documentary's coming out. And then I cut you off and we started.
Yeah, exactly. Chris's, when does this drop, Gary?
This will be Monday.
Saturday.
Okay, so it'll already be in the theaters. So when we're taping this, I'm sticking around because his red carpet premiere is tomorrow night, which is Tuesday night downtown. He did it. You know, I'd like to give a shout out to CB for doing it within walking distance of my office at the Regal Theater down at LA Live. And it's called This Is My Life. I've seen the trailer. I've seen some of the outtakes. And it's really good. And I'm extremely anxious to see the whole movie.
What is his life? I don't know much about him.
Let me tell you. I don't even know the year. I've known him for what seems like a decade. Prior to the Rihanna incident, he was kind of America's sweetheart, and they were America's couple.
Right.
And so that's what was so unbelievably earth-shattering about that whole incident.
Right.
And so he went from beloved. In fact, I'll never forget talking to the district attorney about him and how her daughters adored him, and she was kind of shaken up by it. And I said, obviously, a lot of people were. And so he went from that to kind of public enemy number one. As soon as that picture of Rihanna leaked on TMZ, and which we later found out some LAPD, two LAPD officers got paid like $63,000 by TMZ for it.
A lot of leaking going down
right?
back then and today. Yeah. I really was totally naive on this whole leak thing. Like I figured, hey, if you worked at a hospital and Michael Jackson came in for emergency appendectomy, you couldn't tell people about. Well, it turns out almost everyone does all the time and everywhere. As I always say, like, I'll get off, not that I'm a celebrity, but I have gotten off planes in like Minnesota.
I'd put you above Kathy Griffin. She's D-list.
Got to be between Maher and Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, you're between Bill Maher and Kathy Griffin.
So I've gotten off the airplane and had guys just waiting with stacks of pictures from Crank Yankers or The Man Show, like piles of them. Death from Family Guy, like one's been signed. Somebody tipped him off as to what the flight manifest was, and that's why he showed up with all the pictures of Death and The Man Show pictures.
Right.
So there's somebody who works at the airport who tells people, it works at the airline who tells people who's on the flight. And you think, wait a minute, isn't that wrong? And they go, yeah.
Years ago, Jimmy Kimmel sat in for Larry King.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a show on, I forget who Jimmy was dating at the time, but we did a show, I think, on Gawker. Mm-hmm. Remember this? And Jimmy and I were going back and forth on it, and I was saying there, at some point somebody's going to get hurt or there's going to be some ramifications and Gawker's going to go under. It was 8 years ago, 9 years ago, whenever it was.
Right.
And Jimmy was saying the same thing. I mean, he was aghast at that somebody was like tracking him wherever he goes. I mean, it's like for psycho stalkers.
I've never understood, and you tell me, and I've probably posed it to you, the Chris Brown incident was, by the way, February 09.
It's been 8 years.
I've never understood the legality of you taking my image without my consent and then filming it and then presenting it with commercials. Mm-hmm. Now, my deal is if you live in this town and they want to film something at my warehouse, they go, we need you to sign a release. And I go, I don't, who cares? It's my warehouse. I said, come on in and tape. Yeah, but we're not going to air it unless you sign the release. And it's like, I told you, I'm on camera. It's called Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live. And I said, come down to the warehouse and shoot. Yeah, we need a release. Right. So they're so nutty with paperwork. Now, what I always do, because I'm a conscientious objector, is I have Matt Fondelier sign everything. I don't sign anything because it never comes back. It's a huge waste of time. And the best thing I ever did was after Kevin Smith jacked me out of 500 grand on a thing for telepictures, the best moment was I had my assistant sign this huge $500,000, every page of this contract while I was taking a nap upstairs. It's the only thing that made this thing palatable to me. But I don't understand in a town where you need everything signed and paperwork for everything all the time, why, and in a town that's so litigious about using this likeness. I mean, people sue people if there's a billboard and the model kind of looks like J-Lo and she's selling a watch or an energy drink. J-Lo's will sue the manufacturer and say, that looks too much like me, even though it's not me.
Right.
Okay. Why we're allowed to just film everybody, Alec Baldwin, while he's on his property or at LAX, and then sell it? Why we don't cut Baldwin in on look the
no and the, in the fact show, it's the opposite. It's a and it there's a commercial backdrop to it. And
yeah,
everything
you know
else.
What show, you know, you can go, let's see, what show employs the most stars, and then you can go, I don't know, Modern Family. I mean, those guys, that's a pretty big payroll and stuff like that. But the show is TMZ.
Yeah,
because TMZ has Chris Brown, has Rihanna, has everybody under the sun.
Right. It's got Kardashians. And they have no hot running Kardashians.
They have no choice.
Yeah. What can I tell you?
They're for profit.
Do you know what they should have done? What you should have done? Should have gone to LegalZoom.
Oh, I told them about this problem.
Exactly.
Right.
To successfully run your business, attention to detail is critical. One contract or legal mistake. You just referred to that. Yeah. One legal mistake can set you back 500 grand.
Yeah.
That's why there's LegalZoom. Over a million Americans have used LegalZoom to start their businesses, but LegalZoom services go beyond business formation. A nationwide network of independent attorneys. I don't know why they say attorneys. I like lawyers better than attorneys. Mm-hmm. To provide legal answers to the day-to-day questions, trademarks, employment laws, lease agreements. Don't waste time with fine print. Focus on your business. Legal help you need without being billed by the hour. God, is there anything worse? I just literally this morning had a lawyer that does some aviation stuff for me hammering me about his bill by the hour. And I looked at it and I said, this is why people hate lawyers. I mean, you know, it was like discussion here, blah, blah, blah. You don't have that. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. They don't have it. Right, Gary?
Go to LegalZoom.com today and be sure to enter code Adam in the referral box for special savings only at LegalZoom.com.
Could George Clooney sue TMZ and say, you're clearly profiting off my image and I did not agree to be a part of your TV show and I did not sign a waiver or anything that would disclose that?
It's an interesting area of the law. In fact, we've explored, and there's a couple of lawsuits out there. In fact, I'm co-counseling or potentially co-counseling one where Google has those ads when somebody's on Google, and ISIS puts their videos up on Google and then ads pop up in support of ISIS. And so when there's an ISIS video, because it gets a lot of eyeballs, Google monetizes it.
Wow.
So is that giving material assistance to a terrorist organization? And can you sue for that? It's kind of a first cousin of your question where they're appropriating a likeness and then they're doing a – this is what I've always wondered is because TMZ, I think the parent company is one of the large mega media companies who also employs a lot of and pays a lot of these celebrities. And isn't there an inherent conflict there?
Well, explain that. So the conflict would mean?
On one hand, they're paying these people. They're protecting their likenesses. On the other hand, they've got this other operation that's out there exploiting their likenesses that's not paying them.
Well, if I were a judge.
And by the way, Reasonable Doubt may have an action against Behind the Bar. You know, as soon as Reasonable Doubt took off, you know, we're getting close to our 100th episode. Have you noticed TMZ now has two lawyers talking called Behind the Bar? Have you seen this?
I have heard of it, but I've not seen it.
Yeah.
My feeling, like if I was a judge, I'd say, well, who did you film? And they'd say, George Clooney. And I'd say, did you get him? Did you get his permission to film? No, we did not. What are you doing with this film? And if the answer is, I'm showing it to my kids, they're big fans, I'd say, okay. But if you said, oh, I have a network and we run it, and I'd say, do you sell commercial time on this network? And they'd say, yes, we do. Well, then some of that money has to go to Mr. Clooney.
Right.
That's simply the answer.
It's a very good thought because
it's a pretty straight line, right. I feel like, for me. I mean, because I always say, if you own a watch store, you can't take a picture of George Clooney and graft your watch onto it and then have him endorse your watch when he doesn't endorse your watch.
Just in the Bellagio and there's a poster of Clooney with a watch. And I assume at the Bellagio that somebody's paying him for that. You know, this is interesting. Maybe we get Harvey on and we'll see if I can settle out of court with Harvey. Gary, you want to get Harvey on the line and see if he wants to settle out of court? Tell him on behalf of otherwise I may do a class of celebrities who have been – I could
– Well, it is
– You know, I represent Chris. I could probably – Chris has probably provided enough fodder on there that they should probably pay for that. I wonder what Harvey's response to that would be.
Well, you could easily go back and archive – how many minutes, and it's probably getting into hours now.
Oh, my God. It's probably
days.
Right, days, I was going to say.
That he's provided, and then you go look at ad sales and rates,
right.
And you go, what are they selling a 30-second or 60-second ad for?
Right.
And then you take that, and then you apply it to the 126 hours that he was on there.
He was on the network. It's not a bad – I should pay you a referral fee, but that would be fee splitting. You can't do it because you're a layperson. But, you know, you are a former federal prosecutor.
Oh,
you're just not actively practicing right now.
I would have made short work of this case in my courtroom. I'll tell you that right now.
But now, did you, as we speak, it'll probably be, well, a little dated, but, you know, they picked a jury. They're doing opening statements on Cosby. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Well, this is what they did.
And why is it there?
Okay, so the case is being tried physically closer to Philly, where the incident took place, because I think one of the purported complaining witnesses was a coach at Temple. But because of the publicity, they went to Allegheny County, which is where Pittsburgh is, and they selected the jury there, and then they've bussed the jury to where they're going to try the case, which is back, I think, in the county where Philadelphia is, Montgomery County.
What shall we do in 2017 about – have you heard about this story? Because it was a simple math to do 25 years ago, even – 15 years ago, but especially when it started, which is, do you know about this story that took place in the next county? And they go, I have no idea. It didn't make our newspaper. Or maybe it did make the newspaper, but I don't read the newspaper. So, all right, let's get the people who don't read the newspaper, bring them over here, and now we can sit on the jury.
Right. Which
now with the internet.
Which dumbs down.
Right. Yeah. We have a bunch of people who don't keep up on current events and don't believe in reading. But okay. But now, because everything's all over TMZ and everything's all over USA Today and everything's all over the internet, there's not a human being who hasn't heard of this story. I mean,
right. That's why I think.
And if there is, you really have to go with severely impaired. Like, if you, I once dated this chick in the 80s, she never heard of Zima. And I was like, severely impaired. hot but severely impaired. So for
which
you,
sometimes when I was single, I liked
not
that.
A bad
that was
kind of, no.
That was the
oh,
target
I'm sorry.
Demographic.
I didn't mean that a pejorative. Yeah. No, I was paying her a compliment. Yeah, sorry, if that
exactly.
came across the wrong way.
Well,
but when are you can't have the criteria be never heard of this case,
right?
Because that ship has sailed.
Absolutely. In fact, my
so
criteria.
So how do they do
is,
it now?
This is what I don't understand, and I've done changes of venue successfully and unsuccessfully both. In this internet age, if the case is high profile, I don't understand change of venue anymore. I really don't. I don't get it.
I believe it's the parsley by the side of the plate in the diner in the 80s when eventually somebody went, what are we even doing with the parsley? Like, no one eats the parsley. We got to buy more parsley. We're almost out of parsley. Back up the parsley truck. We need a pallet of parsley. And they go, but hold on. No one, just put it there because that's what we do. Like, there's a lot of that in life where the stuff goes away.
I understand it if it's a local crime that has not gone national. So if it's some pedophile that's made it in a county that's relatively rural, but if it's something like Cosby, I mean, everybody's heard of that,
right?
And they did get two African Americans on the jury, and I know you're not supposed to think like this or articulate it, but clearly, if I'm defending Cosby, the more African Americans, the better on that jury.
Who comes through the best, and we'll get back to the cause, blacks for blacks, women against women or for women, whites for women, Asians for, I know it's not, you can't pull
you
out
can't
a
pull
cheat
it out
sheet
except
from your
I'll
wallet,
give you this,
but
I'll give you this much. Women are generally hardest on women, especially when they're good looking women. If it's a good looking woman
right.
who I'm representing, I don't want women. And if it's even looks aside, because I'm sure we'll get, you know, look shamed or fat shamed or something. Mm-hmm. Can't say anything anymore. But women are hardest on women. Men bend over almost backwards for women. There's kind of that, depending on what the educational class says.
Black is good for black.
Black is, in general, there's certain dynamics in the African-American community. They're not, if you've got a African-American youth who is not a celebrity or is not prominent, mm-hmm. and you've got a older black juror, a lot of times that does not play well for whatever reason. I've noticed that dynamic.
It makes sense. You hear about these kids, you know, what happened? He punched his teacher, and you're thinking, when I was a kid, I never – ever. I mean, these kids today, they're out of control. They need to be taught a lesson or whatever it is.
Right.
All right. So Cosby, they selected the jury.
Right. Now, I'll tell you why I think Cosby's got a shot. Number one, he's got two African-American jurors. Two is a good number. One is tough because they can get rolled. Two, they can bond. And because I've always said, give me two strong jurors who are with me, and they can roll the rest of the thing. Now,
so,
the other component is...
Meaning, if you have one, and the one is just arguing with 11 honkies about whatever's going on, eventually they'll just give up. But the two...
Right. Two can...
You actually act as more than two people. Because
yeah, it's one plus one equals five.
Yeah, because your impulse is, well, that's two out of 12, but
yeah,
that's more than two.
Combine
right.
this with the fact that they're sequestering the jury, which is important. OJ's jury was sequestered. Casey Anthony's jury was sequestered.
Why is this good for?
It's good for the defense. You sequester a jury, they're not in the ether. They're not out there. He's guilty. They're not watching cable news each night, dissecting why the person is guilty and people commenting on the case, even though they're not even in the courtroom and, and pontificating. So it's something about when you sequester the jury, at least during the evidence phase, that tends to even the score for the defense.
What is, I'm going to let you tell me about this, but what is OJ's defense? Oh, sorry. What, wrong brother. Sorry. What is Cosby, what is his defense? If you could put it together right now, just, a couple of big beats on it. Because one of the things I love most and probably hate most about lawyers is you just think to yourself, there's no possible way anyone could mount anything. And then suddenly they start rolling it out.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's maddening and sometimes it's impressive or both. But it's like, what is this defense that we're going to make? We'll hear about it first. I'll tell you what I can
That was
defend.
A tease.
Yeah. Omaha steaks. Dad's Damn. Love steak. Yeah.
I've got a, I'm right here in the freezer. I got mine.
Well, you're a fool because I brought mine home and ate it already.
You got some of yours.
Yeah.
I may have pilfered a little.
Stuff gets pinched around here.
Did you take the chicken?
There wasn't any chicken this time, but the chicken is awesome. But they did send some new stuff this time that I'd never seen before, like the hamburger patties and the wieners. It's good stuff.
The wieners is really good stuff.
Includes two filet mignons, two top sirloins. Four. It's a weird word.
Yeah, sirloin.
To be fair to me.
Yeah, why is there sirloin?
Sirloin of lot.
Yeah.
Four chicken fried steaks. Ooh. So not the chicken. They got the boneless pork chops. Oh, yeah, we ate those too. We got all four of the beef burgers. We ate those. Gourmet jumbo franks. I don't think we got into those yet. And 12 ounces of all beef meatballs. This is why I love my nanny Olga, because I come home and I just push it at her.
And I go, here you go, go to town.
Yeah, so they have a deal. It's a perfect gift. It's just $49.99. It's a limited time offer.
That's unbelievable when you think about it. For $50, you can get all of that.
All of that, yes. Yeah. And you can go to omahasteaks.com, enter doubt in the search bar to apply the 80% off. 80% off.
That's crazy, because $50. Do you know that
one pound of steakhouse fries and four caramel apple tartlets are coming with it, too?
That's unbelievable. I paid over $50 last night for a double Don Julio 1942 chilled. I paid over $50 just for one drink that was gone in 10 seconds.
We should rename this show to White Guy Problems.
Yeah,
starring...
exactly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The Aston Martin, I didn't put it on the trickle charger. Barely turned over this morning.
I actually had that problem. I turned it on and I couldn't get the thing to start this morning.
Brutal.
I know.
Brutal. All right. Omaha Steaks, everyone. And let them know you heard it here and use doubt, the promo code, and omahasteaks.com. All right.
Okay.
So
to answer your question, first of all, let me tell you. First of all, the fact the jury is sequestered, good thing. Check mark advantage defense. Fact there's two African American jurors, check mark advantage defense. Brian Monel, always forget how to pronounce his last name. It's not Monahan, but it's similar to that. Who's the defense lawyer? Checkmark defense. He's great. Great lawyer. I've seen some of his work. I admire it.
As a former prosecutor, I will agree with that.
Exactly. Now, he gave his opening. I loved his opening. His opening was great. He says, okay, let me see if I got this right. This thing was thoroughly investigated by the then current district attorney and rejected because there were too many inconsistencies and outright lies by the accuser.
Is this one case?
Yeah, there's one case, one accuser with they allowed in another, what I call in California in 1101, a similar acts type complaining witness. So
is everything down to this one case?
Yeah. I mean, in the criminal, yes.
In the criminal, because all these people came out of the woodwork, but statute of limitations
beat everything.
Brian McMonagle, by the way.
McMonagle, that's it. I always have that. You know, that's, he's not Armenian, so.
Right. Why do we care?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So he then points out, not only was it rejected by the then current DA, it was only filed in the midst of, or on the heels of an election campaign. Where the triumphant DA said he was going to file if he won. So it became an election year promise. Then when you go back and take a look, after the so-called incident, apparently there were 73 phone calls between the accuser and Cosby, 50-some-odd of them initiated by the accuser, some lasting as long as 40 minutes. So to me, that already, if I'm presuming innocence, those are facts that are good for the defense.
How much and of course he's going to say whatever you think of Mr. Cosby, it's really just about what took place in this date and this time in this courtroom, and you only examine the evidence that we put before.
And he's not going to get on the stand. And, oh, one of the other things he said is...
You know he's not going to get on the stand.
He's already said he's not going to get on the stand. There's no reason for him to. He's already said enough damaging things in his deposition, and they're going to let the deposition in. Mm-hmm. It was a deposition that was taken, and he admitted to giving a pill to take the edge off, and he thought it was a quaalude or something like that. And so Brian did the same thing there. He basically fronted that with the jury and said, look, this is a guy who's never run away from what happened. He testified to it. He was under oath. He testified. You'll hear what he testified to. That was it. He admitted it. It wasn't a crime. Boom. You can't convict him.
What do you think? And so what if you're the prosecutor, then you have your work cut out for you. Here,
I think
right?
so. Yeah.
And
I think this is an uphill. It's always an uphill battle. I think celebrities, everybody talks about celebrity justice. Celebrities get prosecuted more strenuously, if you will, by prosecutors. However, the counterbalance to that is that jurors tend to give you a presumption of innocence if you get to that point to where you're in trial.
How long do you think this will go on?
Week or two.
That'll be it.
Yeah. It'll be by the time this plays, they'll be through a large portion of the evidence.
And you don't think the jury's going to be gone that long?
This could hang. This could be a hung jury. I could see where this case could hang. I mean, it would not surprise me in the least. If there's, once again, I always talk about the bell curve. Mm-hmm. I would think a hung jury, for those who don't know what that means, that's where they can't reach a decision, which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There are three possible outcomes of all criminal cases, guilty, not guilty, and a hung jury, and none of them are preferable, and you vore dire on that when you pick a jury. You ask the jurors. You understand you don't have to reach a verdict. There's nothing that says you do. In fact, a hung jury could be just as valid and is just as valid as a guilty or a not guilty.
And it'll be hung if one guy or – sorry. They all have to go one direction.
In a criminal case, you need 12 zip.
Right.
Except when you're in federal court. There's exceptions to that.
So – the case, was it brought by the victim or who?
The complaining witness, victim, I always say, is a legal conclusion that they would have to have a conviction before you can call a complaining witness a victim. Because I always say, So when you say, when some lawyer says I'm a victim's right advocate, I think that's argumentative. That's because nobody's a victim until a court has determined that
we're here to decide whether they're a victim or not. We haven't decided it yet, and you're calling them a victim, which is
already
sort of,
exactly.
Right.
So
which makes you a perpetrator.
Exactly.
Because we have a victim.
Exactly. Very good. You guys see, you got the whole argument. You have no idea how long it takes me to get that through some judges' heads. I mean, I'll sit there and they'll look at me like with this, like they were dropped on their head and have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'll say, no, you don't understand. Victim means that somebody's already decided that they were victimized by this person. And here, clearly, the argument by the defense is that it was consensual, that they went up, that she visited him afterwards, that she had wine and song and whatever else.
Well, so
The one thing that I don't understand about this case, quaaludes. I thought quaaludes were gone by 1992.
Oh, yeah. I think the company that made them probably was – out of business. I think it was R-O-A-R or something.
And didn't it used to have 714 on it?
Yeah.
On the Quaalude?
Yeah, 714.
714,
right.
Yeah. But I don't remember. Quaaludes was a very 80s drug in L.A.
It was a 70s, 80s. Yeah.
Yeah.
All I remember, it was always described like a drunk pill. And I thought, oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Discontinued in 85 in the U.S.
Yeah. Uh-huh. See? Now, wait, wasn't Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that scene, that kind of resonated with me. I laughed hysterically.
I wonder if guys like Bill Cosby would say Quaalude in place of whatever they were dropping and whatever stuff.
Yeah,
like
because
Spanish
I don't think they
fly,
were around. Right. I mean, he did a whole routine on Spanish Fly, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So, and might that enter the courtroom?
Yeah, it could. It could. I could see where somebody would argue that or would say that because that was one of his most popular routines.
So we think it'll be over sooner than later.
Right.
It could be hung. good to have a couple African Americans on there.
Right.
And
I think this is more of an uphill battle for the prosecution than it is for the defense.
So I think most Americans like me who are busy just sort of listen to everything with one ear just assumed he was being brought to trial for these countless attacks on women.
Right, 47 women.
So if he beats 28 of them, who cares? He's still going to prison, you know. So I think everyone assumes it's a sort of class action lawsuit, so to speak, versus just him against one person. And then the victim,
complaining witness.
The complaining witness is who, and then I'm still not sure if the complaining witness is the one who filed or somebody.
No, what happens in a criminal case is the complaining witness can bring up a case, can file a police report, but then the police do an investigation. After the police do an investigation, the police can't file a case. All they can do is take the case to the prosecutor and ask the prosecutor. They make a recommendation. They say, we recommend you file this. We recommend – police can recommend that a case gets rejected. They can say – I can go to the filing deputy and say, if I'm the cop, and I can say, we've investigated this. We don't think there's enough here to do beyond a reasonable doubt.
Well,
get it?
What then happened? Yeah. How did it play out? Well, so he did a deposition for something else.
So this
else.
Is what happened. He did – no, same case. She's suing him civilly.
Okay.
Does a deposition. Very ill-advised. I mean, obviously, I will
carry it
to, the deposition was ill-advised. If you're going to settle that case, you should have settled it before he's under oath because it's going to come back to haunt you.
Right.
Anyway, but the case gets rejected in real time back in whatever it was, 2006, 2005. Mm-hmm. So they do an investigation. They find her not to be credible, or they think there's too many. They would probably not say that, but they probably say there's too many inconsistencies to be able to prove this beyond a reasonable doubt. So therefore, we're rejecting the case. Then fast forward 10 years later, there's a very heated election for district attorney. Mm-hmm. And in the political context of an election, Cosby's prosecution comes up because right then all of these women are coming out of the woodwork accusing him, and it's achieving critical mass. And this guy's got a 10-year statute of limitations. Apparently, they're in Pennsylvania, and so they're still within the statute of limitations. He says, if I win, I'll file it, and he wins, he files it. That's a little distasteful to me.
I never like when the political side starts weighing in, the Nifong over there with
right,
Duke LaCrosse
with Duke
and
LaCrosse.
Stuff like that. By the way, that's... You know, I always just sort of think, what would the founding father say? When a lot of stuff goes down, when I see the barbed wire around the freeway signs in L.A., I think, what would the founding fathers think about this? Or when I go to Department of Building and Safety and they tell me I can't build a master bedroom on my house,
exactly.
That my money's no good there. And I think my property, my house, and my funds, and they're saying no.
Right.
You can't do it.
They're saying move to Houston.
Right.
Where there
so,
is no
right. So
zoning.
What would the founding fathers say about any of these district attorneys who are doing this on a campaign to be elected? The fact that they even say it out loud seems... If I'm a former prosecutor, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is the only reason we're here is because this guy was running a campaign and trying to get votes.
Exactly.
You think he cares?
And I'll answer that question right after we talk about Tommy John.
Oh, yeah.
Think no one sees you lunging for leg space or plucking a wedgie? Wrong. It's time for an underwear upgrade. You wearing yours now?
Always.
Always, right?
Always.
Tommy John's second skin is made from a super soft natural fiber. You know where it's sourced from?
Beechwood trees.
Exactly.
They can use beechwood trees to age beer for Budweiser.
And make Tommy John underwear.
What can a beechwood tree do? That's a lot of rain.
And it puts regular cotton and regular beer to shame. I know, because we both wear it. Quick draw fly for smooth deployment. More than 5,000 five-star reviews, over 2 million pairs sold. That's a lot of underwear. All backed by, this is my favorite guarantee, best pair you'll ever wear or it's free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. No adjustment needed, right, Gary?
It is the best.
That is correct. Check out Tommy John's complete line of unbelievable underwear, undershirts, socks, and more at TommyJohn.com now. Plus, save 20% on your first order with code Adam. That's Adam for 20% off only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
So you know, do you bring up the DA if you're
I absolutely bring up the DA, and I put the DA in trial, especially if I've got it depends a lot on who's trying the case, because the DA who ran for election rarely will try the case in a courtroom. I mean, that's usually the deputy DA or the deputy assistant DA who tries the case in the courtroom. And DAs generally, I know that, you know, my father's a DA, so I can say this, they're not the most charismatic of people. and so if you've got somebody with a stick surgically implanted up their backside who's sitting in that courtroom, who you can kind of get under their skin a little bit, there is something to be said about having the tainting the DA who's sitting there with the – they're just, you know, kind of the Nuremberg offense where they're just following orders and their boss was running, and that's how their boss won, is to carry out this political prosecution.
So how are they going to explain this relationship, I guess, they're having? And boy, you got to wonder how Camille's doing with all this stuff, because you think, oh, good news, they talk on the phone 73 times after this. But wait a minute, wasn't he married? What were they discussing again? Jesus Christ.
Long-suffering Camille. But, you know, do you know how much he's worth?
Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would guess 200.
Somebody told me $400 million bucks.
It makes sense.
Right?
Do you bring up the fact... 400. Yeah. Do you bring up the fact that Ennis Cosby was executed for $50 cash on the side of a highway in off of Mulholland? Do you bring that up, and do you say that this man is 78 years old? He's practically blind, and he had his son executed by some guy from, you know, some Russian wherever who worked at this place called Mainly Seconds, which is a pottery place by my house in North Hollywood. Just to go to like Mainly Seconds, like buy incense and stuff.
Oh, I remember that Magnolia place. Yeah.
And just,
yes,
the
I
fact,
don't. I've do you never, ever do you? I've, would I've you never understood?
Would you ever
why his team has not talked about that? Because that was a people forget about that. I mean, when you talk to most people, they have no memory of that whatsoever.
Would you So would you say, but you tell me, because there's a part of me that wants to say this man has been punished for the last 23 years. His son, his beloved son, was executed for literally a handful of quarters by the side of the road, just killed like a dog by the side of the road.
Completely and random, too.
Completely random. Yeah. Like got a flat tire, got off at Skirball, started to fix his tire. Guy just came along.
Killed
put
him.
A gun, just literally executed him. What could you do to punish this man? Don't you not think this man has been suffering for all this time? And he's half blind, and he's 78 years old. But you have brought up punishment, which implies some guilt or a crime.
And even worse, why it would be objected to is because there's jury instructions that say it's not the jury's job, other than if you're in Texas and some other jurisdictions, to consider punishment.
79, by the way. Oh, going to turn 80 next month. And then how much are they playing up his eyesight?
I think quite a bit. I mean,
seems
he goes
like quite
in,
a bit, right?
He walks in, he looks like he's blind and infirm.
Is a lot of it like, if you're defending Bill Cosby, you don't say, here's some Grecian formula, sit up straight, I got you a new tie. You go, put on this gray cardigan. If you want to use one of those stroke canes, that would be awesome. It's a cane that stays up by itself.
And people say, oh, it's so slimy of you defense lawyers to do that kind of stuff. And I say, really? What about when the prosecutor dresses up some hoe to look like Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm to come into the courtroom? And I've always said, where'd you get that dress? I mean, did you buy that dress? No. The prosecutor buy it for you? Yeah. You don't own that dress. You've never worn that dress before. Why do you look like you're going to church when you've never even, you know?
Do you say that?
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
perfect.
Yeah. I mean, because it's, and it gets objected to and I get admonished. But I mean, it's they, for some reason, the public has been hoodwinked into thinking that it's only the defense lawyers who play these tricks or do these things. I call bullshit on that. Prosecutors do it every single day of the week. I mean,
it was like O.J.'s had such intense arthritis he couldn't hold a knife. You know, like that kind of thing is what they would do. So they'll make Bill Cosby look as
infirm as possible.
Right. You want as weak, the opposite of virile.
Exactly. Well, and he certainly doesn't look like it. They don't have to go very far. I mean, it's not a large jump.
No, but we do know that the just a light coat of dust can really take the gloss off even a Ferrari. And when you're that age, you're that age anyway. But what I'm saying is at that age, there is a version of you that can be spry, and there's a version of you that can just go, forget it.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Look at these guys who they convicted and sentenced just last week. The Penn State guys. Did you see that? Do you remember?
I heard a little bit about the Sandusky thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think his name was, I want to say, the president, Grant Spanier, I think was his name. He got sentenced to jail time, and two of the others, I think, got sentenced to jail time
as
well. At Penn State, yeah, just this past week. And
because they didn't act?
Right. Child endangerment, basically, is what and didn't act, which is, you know, I'm torn on that.
I'm torn. Well, here's where I'm torn on. You know, as a former prosecutor and a dad. That's, I got two different hats.
Exactly. And your kids are right at the target age.
Yeah. Sweet spot. Yeah. And they're cute. All right. I am, I'm wearing two different hats here. I'm trying to put my dad hat on. I worry a lot about us saying, hey, Bill Maher's dropping an N-bomb and the senator over here didn't dive onto him and try to choke him out. He just stood there and laughed uncomfortably. And it's like, now that guy owes everyone an apology. And it's like, that's Billy Bush. That's Billy Bush. Like, yeah. let's focus on what the other person did.
What do you do with Bill Maher?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing, right? Nothing.
He's making a joke. Right. It's the context. He's making a joke. But what I need from before I start labeling people racist is some pattern of racist behavior, some history of racist behavior.
Do you distinguish between jokes. Michael Richards and Bill Maher.
Michael Richards is one of these guys that I will let the market take care of Michael Richards.
Okay, Bill Maher.
I'll let the market take care of Bill Maher. Kathy Griffin, a little bit different because she is, as we, I believe, discussed, we're a company, and I know HBO is a company, and everyone's a company, but we are being, I said, looked at as pro-Trump, and we can't keep that narrative, anti-Trump, and we can't keep the narrative going, and this is the ultimate anti-Trump. One of our personnel is just holding a severed head, so we have to act so people don't think.
Right.
This is, I'm gay and some guy just called me a homo and I need to punch him because you're looking and I don't want you to know I'm gay.
Can I tell you one thing, though? Mm. I think that her press conference was worse than holding the severed head.
The press conference was a disaster. We were discussing, you know, hang back for a cycle.
If you had waited one more cycle, London would have trumped the whole thing, pun intended.
Well, according to Gary, although, wasn't the London thing on Saturday?
Yeah. Wasn't it?
Well, that's what
it seemed like.
Anyway,
Saturday.
9 a.m. was the press conference. 11:45 was us saying she should stay in a root cellar. Uh-huh. And then 2 p.m. was the UK terror attack.
Right. And I'm telling you, that press conference, that's what's going to ruin her career. What she looked like, I just don't even know what she looked like in that thing. It was like she became completely untethered.
She came, I was going to say unhinged, but untethered. You know, as a former prosecutor, a former carpenter, I like to say unhinged. I don't tether things, but
tether. That's me as a sadomasochist. I like tether.
But it was a funny thing because all Lynette had to say was, "Geez, she's getting into Trump pretty good. Her hair is basically taking the same shape, it's the same color, and she's doing a comb over. Like it's weird that her hair was like an homage to Trump during that conference.
I don't understand any of that. I don't know who advised her to do it. It just was the craziest thing I've ever seen. It looked like that was performance art.
Gary's got an update.
Yeah, I had incorrect information. The attacks were 10 p.m. Saturday, 2 p.m. Saturday local time.
Yeah,
in California.
But you still wouldn't have had to, we only had to wait 24 hours before.
And why would you do it on a Friday where you've got the whole weekend to just makes
sense. But I see there's this whole part of life where I just think, well, I don't know how this works because this must work. There must be some reason. But as it turns out, there isn't.
There isn't. And I'm going to tell you, I do know how this works. This is what I do for a living. Take high profile people who are weathering a storm. This could not have been handled worse. I don't even understand what she was doing or why she was doing it. It makes absolutely no sense. From a crisis management standpoint, if I wanted to plot out exactly how to handle it wrong, this would be they can study this 10 years from now as the exact wrong approach to take in crisis management.
And the part for me when she was like, when she started working race into it, like white men, I just thought, what, do we have to work that into everything? Whitest person on the planet? Do we have to work the guy's skin color into everything?
Just look, there's going to, this is what's so crazy to me. It was such an easy, it was a layup to handle this. She could have apologized. Her apology was kind of goofy to begin with, but just apologize. Lay low. People, you know, there's a contingent of the anti-Trump people who don't mind this at all, her holding the head. Not at all. So she wasn't going to lose her career. She had a constituency. I used to say this about OJ. OJ had a constituency.
Yeah, I was at the courthouse when people were falling to their knees on the verdict and thanking God.
God, right. Scott Peterson, that's why I wanted Orange County. I wanted to get Scott down there to adulterous golfers. I wanted a constituency. You want a constituency. She has a constituency. Play to your constituency. You're not going to change anybody's mind. I mean, it's crazy to the way they gauge this thing. I don't get it.
Gary just left his post real quick, but I was playing – I'm going to ask you seriously because I can't remember if I brought this up to you or not, but I was watching the aforementioned TMZ, and they were filming the L.A. police commissioner's, you know, union rep or whatever. He wasn't the commissioner. He was the head of the police union or something. And they're asking him about Trump's star being desecrated multiple times, and he said, I'm all for it. And this guy runs all the cops in L.A. where the president's star is being desecrated.
Right.
And we'll find it. Gary will find that clip. But I said, I wonder if I went down and took a pickaxe to his star one more time, if I could roll this in court. Ooh. If I could say, hey, I was watching TMZ.
Right.
And they asked the top cop in the city what he thought about it. And he said, I approve. Which says, look, you guys write things that say click it or ticket. Do you mean it? Because I wore my seatbelt on the way here. And you say buzz driving is drunk driving, which I don't like because it makes sober driving buzz driving. If you just do the simple math, it buzzed is
like
drunk,
right,
and then sober is buzzed. And we all move up the drunken ladder one.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. It's unfair.
What did I say? I was watching Veep the other day. What's the name of the character actor who plays kind of the heavyset older guy, thinning hair?
Gary will have to find it on the internet.
That character is great, and he was getting mad at the congressional candidate on the TV show and saying, "What is he too fucking lazy to learn how to drive drunk?"
So, what would you say if we show you? I'll show you this clip.
Okay,
Kevin Dunn is his name. He's got the title. Gary will tell me the title. I've talked about it on my show.
He's the president of the L.A. Police Commission. Sorry, we're working on that.
It drives me nuts because I believe we've drifted into some sort of lawless thing. But he's on camera. All right, let's go ahead and play the clip.
I'm at the end of it. Hey, what do you think about the ongoing defacing of Donald Trump's star of fame?
I'm in favor of it.
You're in favor of it? Do you think maybe they should just remove the star?
I'm definitely in favor of getting rid of the star.
Great. Hey, thank you very much, sir. Have a good night.
Wait, yeah. Kevin looks familiar. What does Kevin do? And besides the commission, what is his
probably
background?
Was an attorney or something. Yeah, now, could I show that in court if I got busted for defacing his thing and go, I saw this?
You know, there's kind of a, what is the term? Because I've used this before, a governmental estoppel, where you're saying I relied upon advice of or the government's advice. So, yes, there is a term for that. It's called governmental estoppel, and you just saw it.
I think you could get away with it. But
I want to use that as a defense for in my marijuana cases where they give these BTRCs, which is the Bureau of Tax Registration cards for the cannabis collectives. I'm saying on one hand, you pay the taxes, you get your BTRC, that's a governmental estoppel theory as to why the other arm of the city attorney's lame office is prosecuting you when this one is giving you the BTRC. So it's a governmental estoppel. I just can't get I won't get into it.
So what do we think with Cosby? You got a Cosby prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to predict I tilt hung to not guilty as of right now.
Wow.
Yeah, which I think will shock a lot of people.
What do you estimate this is going to cost him?
Oh, my God.
Legal fees.
Legal fees? Probably $3 to $4 million would be my guess.
What is the
But the prosecution's probably spent $10 million on this.
Really?
Yeah.
Insane. Yeah. What is the bulk of the fees?
You've got
like
tying up the courtroom, sequestering the jurors, busing the jurors in.
Yeah, that's on the prosecution
side. On the prosecution side.
Cosby
side, jury consultants paying the legal fees. If they're billing by the hour, clearly they're going to be billing by the hour. You've got, five minions back at the office researching and writing motions on every conceivable thing that the prosecution is trying to do. So it's a... See, but you know, as I always tell clients, look, you're going to spend some money. You have no part. It's your money or your liberty. You're 79 years old. What are you going to save it for? You're going to take it with you?
This is the easiest one ever. It's you have more money than you can spend in your lifetime.
Exactly.
Spend 1% of it and keep your freedom.
Exactly. It's a no brainer. I don't know. But it shocks me sometimes how guys want to grind you. I say, if you had cancer, would you be grinding the oncologist as you got cancer? This is the liberty version of cancer when you're facing criminal charges. So,
and you know the attorney, you know he's good.
He's excellent. Excellent lawyer.
And he can't be free.
Yeah.
Is he from that area?
Yeah. He is. He's from Philadelphia. I want to say he used to be a Montgomery County prosecutor, like you, former prosecutor.
I probably know the man.
Yeah.
Do you want to get a guy who's from the area, or, what does it look like if Cosby comes flying in with you versus, the hot shot Hollywood, whatever
guy? I've tried cases in Philadelphia and have enjoyed it because I went to college there. So I always make sure that the jurors know up front, hey, I'm a Haverford College graduate. I was down here on the main line. I missed it. I used to live in Ardmore, blah, blah, blah. So that's...
Let's just pick a city you haven't been to.
I did. I tried a case in Little Rock, tried a case in Lubbock. I have a unique situation just because of the CNN gig for so many years. There's a lot of people who know me from that. And so I'm pre-digested.
Let's just talk about the optics of bringing in hotshot celebrity
slick
attorney
LA lawyer
from LA to one of your LA buddies that you used to hang out with at the Grotto when you were raping children at the Playboy Mansion. Like, better to have a
local guy. And this is another reason.
Better to have
why.
A black guy or white guy in Bill's case?
Bill's case, I think that Brian's a perfect pick. I think he's just the perfect pick. You've already got two African American jurors. You got a white guy who knows the system there, knows the intricacies. And remember, it didn't happen in this case because they were in Allegheny County picking a jury. But normally, that person who is local is going to know the local culture. And that is very difficult to get up to speed on.
I'm going to tease one for you.
Okay.
We started off the show by talking about the makeup of the jury and how it helps and hurts, kind of depending on female, male, African-American, whatever it is. It's interesting to me. It's not a hard science, but believe me, as a former, and you being around as long as you have, it is. It is. I take what guys like you say is a bit of a hard science because I don't want a bunch of numbers that have been crunched over at Stanford. I want just boots on the ground. You've been there. You've seen it. I want to know, don't answer.
Okay.
Male or female African-American when you're deciding that it's a good thing that two are on the jury, if that would make a difference to you, if you were if you're a lawyer on this case. First, I'll tell you, Alone on History, back for its fourth season with a crazy new twist. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists are still dropped into unforgiving wilderness, but now it's 5 competing teams, brothers, fathers, sons, a married couple, and it's a different kind of survival show. Besides their teammate, they're truly alone. No camera crews. As you know, all those other movies, they're saying, I'm dying of hunger, and there's a guy standing there eating a granola bar with khaki shorts filming them. Who's holding that camera? They film themselves. No gimmicks, no forced challenges. It's all just as it should be.
When is this?
This is the 15th, Thursday,
the 15th.
It premieres Thursday the 15th. That's 10 o'clock, 9 central on History.
On History,
the
okay,
winners. The winners are going to take home $500,000.
What?
You know, I used to watch these shows like, hey, you've won a trip to Palm Springs, California. It's like, that's $89.
No, exactly. But wait, $500,000?
$500,000. So, wow. And they're going to be on the North Vancouver Island. So it's all about survival. It's all about History. Check it out. Alone. Okay. So I never thought about the sex.
In
this.
Cosby's, I think it would depend on the – I think age matters more
– than sex.
Than the sex with the African-American jurors. Actually, with the white jurors as well.
So we want older.
I would want to tilt older, yeah. I really would. I think older is going to have more of a problem with the phone calls. Going to have more of a problem of why are you going over there? You know that he's a married man. But, I mean, you know, there's those kinds of questions.
Right.
That there's still that – kind of thinking, whether you want to characterize it as puritanical or old-fashioned or 50s driven or things like that. But that's the reality. You have to get into – everybody comes to everything with their own prism, and you have to try to put yourself in their shoes and understand it when you're picking them. And you don't have a whole lot of time to do it. So it's a quick shot.
I'll be very interested in how this plays out. All right, Irvine Improv, Thursday, June. So watch Alone, the premiere of Alone, and then come out to Irvine Thursday, June 15th. I'll be on stage.
Do not go to Disneyland.
With Dennis Prager. That's right. We're going to work, kids.
Yeah, we're going to work.
Oxnard Levity Live. That's Thursday, July 6th. Dave Koechner and Rainn Wilson will be up on stage with us. We'll be having a good old time. Go to adamkroll.com if you want to find almost anything. No Safe Spaces. We're doing a little crowdfund. Go to nosafespaces.com and check out the videos there. I think you'll like it. Mark, what do you got?
I got Live Reasonable Doubt, July 20th at 10E in downtown L.A. We've got some tickets left, but we're a month out. Get them now. We've got the Capri in Southampton is now open. Casa Tropicana, right, Gary, in San Clemente?
Magnificent. It's a great. That's a great place for a staycation.
If you're
from the SoCal area, go down there for 2 days. It feels like you went to, you know, Paris for the weekend.
I love it. And then V Palm Springs, and we've got Tenney and Engine Company 28 downtown.
So, until next time, Adam Kroll from Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.